We're continuing our series called Jesus. You know, that's something we need to be shouting every once in a while. It's just Jesus. When you don't know what else to say, sometimes it's just Jesus. One time, you know, I remember I was in a car that somebody was driving. It wasn't me, and they hit a deer. And my first thing out of my mouth was, Jesus! Apparently, I was praying for that deer because it got up and ran right on away. It lived. It caused some damage to the car, but the deer lived. I just wonder sometimes, if I didn't yell Jesus, would that thing have died? See, that's power in the name of Jesus. And so this morning, you know, the Bible depicts the church as many things. And I'll just tell you three of them, you know, just for good measure. I'll tell you three of them. One, he depicts the church as a family. We are all a family. And might I say, I tell this to my nieces all the time and my nephews. I tell them, aren't you glad that grandma and granddaddy are good looking? And they, when the first time I ever tell them that, they look at me a little weird. Like many of you are looking at me right now. Why would you ever say that? Because I always tell them, I said, just think, if they were ugly, we could have been ugly. I'm so thankful grandma and granddaddy were good looking. And so, you know, there are certain things that run in the family. And so we are all family. And I just like to say, we're all really good looking family. So I'm thankful that you were good looking because it could have affected me. But let's put it in this manner. Spiritually, if you're not good looking spiritually, you could cause the whole family to look a little ugly because you're spiritually a mean, nasty. You're spiritually, you're just, you know, if it all becomes about you, in the body of Christ, that's dirty, that's ugly, that's nasty, that looks bad. That just absolutely looks bad on you when your kingdom-minded is about your kingdom and not God's kingdom. It just doesn't look good on the body, and it makes the rest of us look pretty bad too. Have you ever seen, why do most people think, what's the number one complaint about the church by the world? We're what? Hypocrites. See, even you know what the world calls us. Why? Because there's a couple hypocrites out there. The majority of us are not hypocrites. The majority of us practice what we preach. But there are hypocrites out there, and that's the first thing the world goes to when they talk about the church that they don't want to be a part of. The church is full of hypocrites. Well, guess what? So is your workplace. And you still go. Isn't that amazing? So is your family events, and you still go. So is your Christmas party and all that mess full of hypocrites. The highway full of hypocrites. Many of them don't even use their blinker and are getting mad at everybody else. And then they cuss somebody else out because they did the same thing they've done 100 million times. The world is full of hypocrites and it hasn't stopped nobody from going anywhere. But don't give us a bad name. Don't give the world another cause to come against us. Let's live kingdom minded and get known for what we're supposed to be known for. Living like Jesus lives. Hello. And did I even tell you the three things? Family, right? We're family. We're fellowship. He calls us a fellowship and he calls us a flock. And so this morning I want to focus on the flock. Now we're called many things. Have you noticed that? We're called sons. And I said this last week, women, you can be called a son of God if I can be called a bride of Christ. And so we just sometimes have to, you know, you may not fully understand. That used to bother anybody, any other man in this place, when somebody would say the bride of Christ, did that irk anyone? A couple people are really honest. The rest of you, I don't know, you're secure, I guess. But when the pastor would say, you are the bride of Christ, I'm like, I don't like that. I don't like that at all. I don't like that. And so I guess, ladies, if you don't like being called the son of God, you know, in mankind, now, you know, a lot of times it says man, it means mankind. If you don't like that, then, you know, get over it, just like I had to do. But, you know, we're flocking, so we're going to focus on God as the shepherd. So I've named this Jesus the Shepherd. And you're at John 10:10. I'm going to start at and just read a piece of Psalms 100 verse 3. We are his people and we the sheep of his pasture. And so we're the sheep. God is the shepherd. Jesus is our shepherd this morning. Now let's turn to 10:10. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but to what? Steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that they may have life and they might have it more abundantly. Now, I've focused a lot on this scripture this week and not really for this sermon for me personally. You know, I study also for just me. You should study just for you, for your life, for the word on the inside of you, to get God's word on the inside of you, because one of the videos we just watched talked about if we're pressed, something's going to come out. What's it going to be? Is it going to be what your granddaddy always said? Is it going to be what your daddy always said? Is it going to be what your teacher always said? Is it going to be? Or is it going to be the word of God? Is it going to be Jesus coming out of you in times of pressure? We better have the word on the inside of us, and that's all about kingdom. So when we're pressed, kingdom comes out. Because have you ever seen somebody pressed and something not so good come out? Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the natural, but I felt everybody go that way for a second. I'm not talking about natural circumstances, but somebody get pressed in a situation and all of a sudden something comes out that is not that great. And what we want to do is have the kingdom pour out of us. Every situation, kingdom comes out. But I've been studying this scripture a little bit and about what it means to kill, what it means to steal, what it means to destroy, and then what it means that I come that you may have life and have that life more abundantly. First of all, the word life here, we look it up and it is reference to logos. The logos, the written word, be made flesh. Jesus was the written word made flesh. And it says, I come to give you the logos, the written word, the agape, the God kind of life. I've heard many pastors say, this is the life that God would live if he was on this earth. Well, of course it is. It's the logos made flesh. It's the life that Jesus lived made flesh. He said, I come to give you that life, the same life that I lived, and to have it, the word have, so interesting. I say that out loud and then I realize how ridiculous that sounds. The word have is so interesting. But the word have there is the word echo, which is the same place that we have it in Mark 11:23. Have the faith of God, or have the kind, have faith is have faith. That means to echo. Echo, to be a mirror image. And so God is saying, Jesus is saying here, I come to give you life, the written word made manifest, the written word, the word made manifest, the way God would live if he was on the in the flesh as Jesus lived on this earth. I come to give you that life. Have it. Have it. Mirror it. Be a image. Be a shining image of it. Mirror yourself after it. Be an echo. Be the same thing, but I come to give it to you more abundantly. Jesus walked in his power as a son of God for 3 years of his ministry, 3.5 years on this earth. And Jesus is saying, I want you to mirror that life and I want you to have it all your life. I want you to have it more abundance. I want you to have more miracles operating in your life. I want people, more people coming to the family of God because you are part of the family of God. Where you go, kingdom should pour out of you. The love of God should pour out of you. The presence that changes atmospheres should pour out of you. That was weak on your behalf. Yes, thank you. Now, let's keep reading here. We've read 10:10. Let's read 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, oh Lord, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf. Can I tell you something? If this is your church,
yes, it is.
Okay, now, then you should be sold out.
I am.
You should be here. You're not a hireling. You don't come here just because the music's good, and it is. You don't come here just because the temperature in here is good, and it's not so great right now. It needs to be cooler. I guess it's because I'm moving and you're not. I always get told when it's the temperature I want it that everybody else is freezing. I heard an usher, I will not say his name out loud, who someone complained to him about it being cold, and he said, put a jacket on. okay, I'm sorry. But not a hireling. If you're called to go somewhere, then don't be a hireling. Oh, man, I'm going to say it again until it's not quiet. You know, if you're called to be somewhere, let's just say a job. If you're called to be at a job, don't just be a hireling. Because the Bible even tells us that we don't work as unto man, but we work as unto God. And so if the job gets tough, if the job gets in a manner that we don't like it or somebody is rubbing us the wrong way, we don't run like the hireling because we don't work as unto man. We work as unto God. If we've heard to be somewhere, we don't get up the moment we see a wolf in the field. I had somebody in this place tell me a testimony just the other day about how at their workplace they can see, they didn't use this word, but this is what it is, the wolves and other departments begin to come after them because they do their job and they do it well and they work unto the Lord. And sometimes when you do that, it doesn't make somebody else look as good. And the reason the wolf in the workplace is coming after you, not so much because they're hungry, they just don't like to look bad. And it might be easy to run, but they know what they're called to do, and that what God has blessed them with, and when it's time to go, or if it ever is, God will speak to them. It won't be an emotional decision. Let's talk about emotional decisions. Let's just talk about this. I've had, we're going there. Sorry. This is either an amen or oh me. You know, it's one of them. But oh me's can be good because you can see it. And if there is no change, it will always be oh me. Oh me. Oh me, Pastor. Oh me. But the once we see it and make changes, then it is a amen. I see that I need to make an amen out of an oh me. And trust me, don't feel bad. I've had many oh me, and I will continue to have oh me. Why? Because I'm going to continue to change. I'm going to continue to transform. But I was talking, this has been a subject of mine lately. Now, this person, you do not know, they do not come here. I've known them for a while in the past, but one time they used to work at this place. I won't even talk about the job that they were in. But they came to me and they said, I need help. I need help. I mean, like, what's going on? They're like, financially, I'm not able to make ends meet and family and all this is going on. I need some help. I said, well, you got this really good job and you're the head of this department and has that change? It's changed. Well, what changed? Well, I don't no longer work there. Why? Well, because me and the district manager, we kept bumping heads and, you know, and I kept talking to some of the other employees and it just wasn't right. And I'm, you know, they basically build their case with their branches that they worked with. And this person, you know, fluffed them. You shouldn't take that. You're over there. Yes, they're the district manager, but you shouldn't take that. And you don't have to take that. And so one day the district manager come in and said, this is the way it's going to be. And then that person blew up and told them off, cussed them out, said, you know, through papers in the air, said blankety blank bye, take this job and you know all that stuff. And when they told me, I looked at them and said, felt good, didn't it? And they kind of looked and smiled and said, yeah, it sure did. I said, yeah, how does it feel now? How does it feel now that you can't even feed your family? How does it feel now you let emotional decision get in the way? Yes, it felt good. Let's just be real about things. You know, people, we as a church, we tend to not say things like that feels good. It feels amazing. It can feel great telling someone off. It can feel great lashing out. But it is not the way we are to live. And it can bring consequences that we're not willing to face. One, when you start talking to that way, somebody bigger than you, you might, in the words of my father, write a check that your butt can't cash. Exactly. Oh, I'm the only one that's heard that statement. You might talk to somebody bigger than you that knows they're bigger than you, and you better watch what you say. But look, we're not living for the moment because emotional decisions will emotionally bankrupt us. There are many people in prison today, not because they're bad people. They had an emotional outbreak at the wrong time. They had an emotional decision that cost them everything. everything. Emotional decisions that cost them everything. Dear Lord, may we not be a hireling. Can I tell you something? If your emotions are in control of you and you not of them, you are a hireling. And the world and every situation and every circumstance you're in is your boss. If you got, these emotional outbreaks, that situation owns you. And then, can I tell you something? People own you because they know. They know. Can I tell you something? As a parent, your kids figure you out quick. Lord, they figure you out quick. Mine know. They know how to get something out of one area. And then they know how to get something out of this area. All they got to look at me and come in just beautiful eyes and bat them and hug me and get in my lap and snuggle up to me. It's, Daddy, I love you. I'm like, baby, I love you too. Like, Daddy, you're the best daddy in the world. We're like, tell me again. And they know what to do. And they're like, Daddy, let's go get ice cream. Okay, that sounds good. Mom already said no, so you have to go tell her. Like, oh, if Mama said no, but I told you I love you. I love you too, but I'm afraid of Mama. And so a hireling will run away. A hireling will run when it gets hard. But those that are shepherds, those that have a point, those that have a position, those who are ownership, you own the kingdom. You're part of the kingdom. Your daddy owns the kingdom. Your daddy owns the kingdom. And he puts you in charge of the kingdom. You don't run when trouble comes. You stick where God has called you. You do what God has called you to do. And you don't run from it. I've heard this statement. I can't preach it as gospel, but it tends to be true. If you run from something, you'll just find it everywhere you go. You're going to have to deal with it. I've heard people tell me, everywhere I go, I face the same thing all the time. Well, because it's going to keep showing up. It's going to keep showing up, and you're going to have to stop making emotional decisions and start making calculated stances. You're going to have to start standing on the word on the subject and get victory over it. Oh, can I get a really good amen right then and there? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Verse 13, the hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Oh my goodness. He cares not for the people around him. He cares not for his brother and sister that's sitting beside him. He doesn't care for the person at the workplace. He doesn't care for the people that are around him. You know what the hireling cares about? Himself. There's danger and I'm running. This is uncomfortable and I'm not going to deal with it. That is how the world operates. And I'm sorry that you have experienced that in your life and relationships, that you've experienced that in jobs, that you've experienced that in every area of your life. You may have experienced that in family relationships. You may have experienced that all in your life. And I hate that you have experienced that. But cut that off now. Don't mirror image that. Don't be a copy of how you were raised. Now take the good and spit out the bad. Take the good things you were taught and mirror that. And then begin to mirror the word in areas that were not right in your family relationships or the way you were raised. I think our nation, one of the biggest things our nation, there's so many things, but in a workplace, we don't have a work ethic anymore. We don't even know what it is. My daddy used to, and it's so much more truer now than it was when I was told this. My daddy said, just show up on time, leave on time. You'll beat 90% of everybody. Every employee, just show up on time, leave on time, do your work. And my daddy would tell me, it's called work because sometimes it ain't fun. It's not a play. You don't get paid to go play all day. Now, it's great that if you love your job and you love your work, that's wonderful. And I think you should. But that's not what you're paid to do. You're not paid to love what you do. I am. I do what I love. But thankfully, you know, my boss is awesome. But in all this, your boss may not be as awesome, and you may be working in something you don't care for as much. But let me tell you something. You do it with everything in you. There's no work ethic. And I've heard this from employers and employers and employers a lot lately, saying, where is the work ethic? And then I've even heard this lately, that companies are so afraid of being sued that they don't even correct their employees, and we're only amplifying a mentality that is horrible. Can you know, let me just tell you this. If you live the word, you can't help but to be promoted. You can't help to get advancements, because you're doing the word. You're not a hireling that runs. You are someone that stands on principles. You're someone who stands on the word and does the word and cares for more than just the paycheck that shows up. You actually care for the people there. You care for the boss. You care for everybody, those that are nice to you and those who are not. Let me tell you something else the word says. Oh, you love those who love you? Oh, good job. Yay, that's how the world works. They love who loves them, but you love those who don't love you. You love those and are kind to those who are not kind to you. And that is kingdom living. Do you think you were so kind to Jesus all your life every time? He had to die for your sins, and you still made mistakes. Anyone? And we are the very reason he died. And he did an act of love before we ever loved him back. Hello. Now, I have many points. It's disgusting the amount of points I have. I actually have 3 points, and then all my points have another 3 points. Yeah. So we're going to try to make it through the service today, all of it. I may be a little ambitious on that, but if not, we'll figure it out, right? So I'm glad that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. You want to know why? Because I'm a sheep. Yeah. I'm a sheep. Yeah. And if God is not a hireling, when the enemy comes in, he don't run. He doesn't leave me. He doesn't let me down. I'm not going to experience the pain and suffering because God didn't move on my behalf. Because God saw, there's never been a moment in your life where an attack of the enemy and Jesus looks at God the Father and said, did you realize... God, did you realize that Raj was going to have that many people run after him? Did you realize the devil had that many, you know, demons coming after him? Lord, it's about my coffee break, like in another 15 minutes. Why don't I just take that early and I'll just come back and see what's left by the time I get back. God has never made that decision to let the enemy have his way and not be there. And not to protect you, not to cause you to rise up above what the enemy is trying to do. Now, y'all go to Psalms 23. I love Psalms 23. It's a good scripture, isn't it? It just blesses me. And so let's look at Psalms chapter 23. We're going to start in verse 3. My first point this morning is he provides. He provides. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, this word want here is hesed. Now, it means to lack, to be without, to decrease, to be lacking, to have a need. Now, can I tell you something? A lot of people will read this and say, I'll never want anything. Well, I want a lot of things. When I get hungry, a lot of times I want a burger or bacon. What did somebody say bacon? I want. There's certain things I want. And I've just brought up burgers. Can I tell you something? If you haven't had a burger with fried eggs, a fried egg and bacon on it, I don't know if you've lived yet. I don't know. Back home, they used to call it the cardiac. It's delicious. It's delicious. But that may not be your thing. But anyway, there's going to be wants. You know, there's certain wants. But what the definition here is to have a need. God is saying, I'm going to take care of all your needs. And I'll tell you something else. He even looks at your desires and brings your desires to pass as well. Verse 2, look here. And he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me into the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Can I tell you something, another way of putting this? He leads you in the path of righteousness for his kingdom. It's not just for you. You get to walk in something that's amazing. Have you ever been a part of a... a job that sends you to places, that does certain things for you, puts you up in a hotel, that wines and dines maybe a customer and you get to be a part of it. You get to eat at fancy restaurants that you could never afford. Maybe you're at a place where you couldn't afford it. Oh, okay, I'm the only person that's had that happen to me. When I worked for a bank, they would send me certain places, and they'd pay the whole way. And then they'd feed us at certain places and for training and certain things of that nature. And I'd eat at fancy restaurants, and I'm thinking in my own budget, this would not be possible. But in theirs, it's very possible. Why? Because they're doing it for their kingdom's sake. Now, God is a little different because I'm not an employee. I'm a son, and you are a daughter of God. We have sons and daughters in this place, and God is here like, I'm going to send them places for training, and they're going to be a part of something that if they didn't have me, they could never be a part of it. They're going to be able to live in a manner that's better than they'd ever be able to live on their own. I'm going to feed them. I'm going to bring peace to them. I'm going to cut drama out of their life. I'm going to bring them at a level that they never even knew to live. They wouldn't even have this information on the inside of them if they stuck with their own way, their own town, their own culture, because that would have brought destruction on them. But I'm going to take them to a place in me they could have never had on their own. God is a God that provides more than what you could ever think or imagine. Y'all are doing better. But he provides for us at a greater level than we would ever think of on our own. Now, what's amazing is sometimes we get to a place as we grow in God, our desires increase because we're experiencing greater things than we ever have. And we get to a place where we're sometimes, I don't know why we get so foolish, we look at where we are and we almost believe this is because of us. We got us here. But when you look at where you came, maybe, you know, y'all were raised in the city, some of you. How many of you city dwellers in here? How many born and raised in cities? I got a couple hands. How many boondocks? Let's just say small towns, 10,000. Okay. How many less than 10? Let's say 5,000. How many of you live in towns of 5,000? Oh, there's plenty of it. How many 2,000 or lower? Okay, good. That's me. 2,000 and lower. St. George Island had 720 people live there. 720, hour and a half away from Walmart. We all had backwood mentalities. We all had a certain way of living. We all had a mindset. Now, somebody went there not too long ago, told me it wasn't as bad as what I explained. But I told them, you stuck around tourist places. Yeah, that's where the money is. It's not as bad there. Go to the backwoods. Go down this street. Go to this area. And it's still like that. And the mentality is still the same. And I would have never made it with that mentality. I live greater right now today than I would have ever lived just sticking with the mentality of my culture. And I'm all about culture. Love your culture. I love my culture. My culture did a lot of good things for me. My culture taught me how to take, tubes. What's those tubes of chips? I was talking about this today. Pringles. How to take a Pringle can and fix your exhaust leak. Yeah, if you got air intake, if you got a hole in the air intake, I know how to fix that with two clamps and a Pringles can. My culture taught, and I've had to do it. I've had to do it. I know what it is. That's my culture. But my culture would have kept me with broke, busted, and disgusted. My culture would have kept me with a car that was rust holding hands. My culture would have kept me with rigging everything and fixing nothing. But God took me above my culture. I still take the good things in my culture. And I'm also amazed at what I can fix by rigging things. And I still use it, don't get me wrong. But I would have never risen above it. I remember the first day. I know this is insane for some of you to think about. But I remember the first day I lived in a city that delivered food. That was wonderful. I remember I called the pizza guy. And they delivered to 4 in the morning. That was wonderful. I got on the phone with him. I said, let me get this right. You deliver food right to my front door. And he kind of chuckled. Said, yeah, I sure do. I said, all right. Now, let me ask this. Y'all say y'all deliver to 4 in the morning. And he goes, yeah. I said, so if I call at 3:30 in the morning, I order a pizza, you going to get it here by 4? He goes, yes. I said, I tell you what. I like this. And I ordered me a pizza. And I said, can I call y'all and just order one for the future? Be like, what if I just call you and tell you, it's 6 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm going to tell you I want a pizza at 2:30 in the morning. You're going to deliver it to my house at 2:30 in the morning? He goes, yes, I will. I'm like, all right. Y'all are now my pizza place. Because, you know, I came from a culture, we only deal business with one person. And once you make that covenant with that person, it may even cost you more, but you're with that person. I'm like, you are now my pizza place. I will order all my pizza from you, and you will deliver all my pizza to me. Deal? Deal. Let's shake on it. You know, and that was the culture, but I've risen above the limits that my culture had on me. And every culture, I don't care what culture you come from, will limit you to a degree, will limit you, tell you what you can and cannot accomplish. I don't care if you come from a very wealthy culture, a very poor culture, a very northern culture, a very southern culture, a very foreign culture. It doesn't matter what culture you come from, there are limitations. But with God, he says, I will never put limitations upon you. I will cause you to be greater than what you can even come up with from your culture, out of your own mind. No matter what you deal with, I will take your experience, cause you to be greater. God will cause you to be greater. He is the one that provides. Look at your neighbor and say, not only is he the shepherd, he is the good shepherd. Oh, some of you may have experienced bad shepherds. Some of you may have experienced bad parents. I'm sorry for you that experienced bad parents. I think that is a terrible thing to experience. I had good parents. Not they didn't do everything right. I'm sure they messed up. I just didn't know it. You know, and most of you don't even know it till you get out. I'm the only one that found out things were weird in your family when they were normal. And then you move out and be like, oh, everybody doesn't do that yet. Neither did we. I don't know what I'm talking about. But yeah, and so in all of this, if you didn't have good parents, I'm going to tell you something. You got a good father now. You got a good father now who is not going to be like your parents. So don't compare. And let me just, while I'm on don't compare, let me just say this. Don't ever compare, good or bad. Good or bad. Don't look at yourself and say, man, I'm doing so much better than my brothers and sisters. And that may be true, 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 true. But it's not good. It's not good to compare like that. Or look at your ministry and compare it to somebody else's ministry and say, oh, I'm doing good. Or look at somebody else, I'm not doing enough. The Bible tells us it's unwise to compare. Why? Because other people are called to do other things that you're not called to. And when you start comparing, and you can get doing the wrong thing because you're comparing. And let's say this, if you compare and think how great you are because you're compared to someone else, then you get high-minded of yourself. And the Bible tells us not to be high-minded of ourselves. And all of a sudden, we deserve things that other people aren't getting because we're doing a better job with what we have than they are. Oh, Lord. And let pride come in. And then what happens? Fall. Can I tell you something? I want to bring this in. And I'll tell you, this definitely checked my flesh. I won't even say the pastor's name, but I was volunteering for a pastor. This was in Bible college, and I was part of a group. My group was booming. My group was better than any other group in the natural sense, if you want to compare, but I just told you not to. My group was doing great. It was doing awesome. Not only we had the highest evangelistical numbers, when we would go out, we got more people saved. My numbers were rocking on salvations, first-time salvations and rededications, even being filled with the Holy Spirit because we had to write these numbers down. And when we compared numbers, I was at the top every time. But anyway, when we compared numbers, now the pastor called me in his office. And he said, I'd like to talk to you about what you're doing. I'm like, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, let's do this. And so he talked to me about it. He says, you're doing a great job. And he encouraged me. And I'm like, thank you, I appreciate that. He says, I got another task for you. I said, sure. What would you like me to do? And my mind is running 100 miles an hour. Oh, I'm about to get a promotion. I'm about to get to a higher level. I'm going to have more responsibility. This is awesome. He's going to put me over some more groups. He's going to do all this. You know what he gave me? Nope. You're close, though. I was already doing those. He gave me a bag, a plastic bag of his shoes. He said, I want you to shine these shoes. He said, I noticed something. Your shoes are always shiny. They ain't anymore. I have kids who step on them. But he said, I noticed your shoes are probably one of the most shiniest shoes in the whole joint. I said, yes. I said, I buffed them several times. He says, I want you to do that to mine. And I said, okay, I will do that. And I took his shoes, and when I left, I thought, man, this was not what I was expecting. I did a good job, so now I get to clean shoes. And I'm here like, I got to put my hand, because the way I buff shoes is I put my hand in the shoe and buff the shoe. I'm like, this man, I don't know what his feet are like. And his feet sweating. Maybe his shoes stink. I don't know. And I got to put my hand in that. That's what soap and water is made for. But I'm like, I'm going to have to buff shoes. And for a moment, I will tell you, for a moment, my mind went to a place of, this is beneath me. Does he go to anybody else and ask them to buff his shoes? He comes to me. I'm pulling the biggest numbers in this place. And he's going to ask me to buff his shoes? And when that thought crossed my brain, it hit me. Oof. Yeah, this is exactly, you deserve less than this. It hit me. With that mentality, you don't deserve any of it. First of all, we don't deserve any of it anyway. No matter how good we are or how much we compare ourselves to others, whether we're ranking way above or way below. Can I tell you something? If you if you're in a group and you compare it to somebody else and it doesn't measure up to what you think it should be, hey, you were called to be right where you are. And you are changing lives and doing the ministry that God gave you right where you are, doing right what you're supposed to do. And you take that comfort in the Lord. Your relationship doesn't go this way. It goes this way. And you just be faithful. And there is no comparing. There is no comparing because God provides. And God gives you the right people. And God does what he's supposed to do. And you stay right there. Relationship upward. Relationship upward to God. And God will provide everything it is that you need. Put the right people in your path and do everything that he has created you to do. God provides. Now, yeah, my subpoints. Are you ready? He makes, verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. I want to speak to the business owners. I want to speak to those who always have to do. Who is that? Who in yourself you say, I always have to do. I can't be still. I can't rest. I see your hands. Anyone else? I see your hands. Anybody else says that's me? I see yours. All right. How many of you say that's not me? I can break out a hammock and sleep for 2 hours knowing I got stuff to do. Oh, I see your hands. God bless you. I see your hands. So we're all in this place. We're all represented in this place. But I want to tell you something. You're going to have to rest. God says, he maketh me. God makes me to lie down in green pastures. I was talking to someone who told me, I feel guilty. I feel guilty when I don't do. And I know I got a lot of doing. I feel guilty when I take a break. I feel guilty. I don't like the feeling. I even heard this conversation wasn't speaking to me, but, you know, I got good ears. I heard someone say, you know, when I do this thing that I like to do, it took me 3 years before it wasn't on my mind that I shouldn't be doing this. It took me 3 years. Can I tell you something? God commanded us to rest. Now you that do rest, I feel like rising up on the inside of you. No, don't take that mentality either. You've got to make sure, one, you do rest. You always need that. You need to take a break. You need to enjoy life, but don't let that overtake all your responsibilities too. We've got to meet in the middle somewhere. You can't rest and be like, pastor told me to get in a hammock and lay outside and sleep. That's what I'm doing. Your husband and wife says, hey, we got stuff to do. Leave me alone, woman. I'm doing what pastor said. Now, I don't want to hear any notes or any emails on that. But you need to be able to do things. You got to rest. Now, look at this. What does he make? He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me besides what? Still waters. Now, the waters, you know, green pastures, still waters. We can put it this way. Contentment and peace. You're going to have peace in your heart. You're going to have contentment where you are. Yes, you're not where you want to be, but you are not where you were. And God is not going to leave you where he found you. He's going to keep taking you to greater levels so we can be content right where we are. How horrible is it that somebody who has everything it is that you want, you know, just like at it. It's like, my mama bought me the yellow Porsche. I told her I wanted the red. Oh, I would paint it the ugliest color. No, I wouldn't. I'd take it and write it myself. But it's just like, that is pure brattiness. And we don't get to a place where God has blessed us so much, we look at it and say, well, I don't like where I am. You be content where you are. An increase is coming. Increase is coming. But until you get happy where you are, you're never going to be happy. You're never going to be happy. You got to be happy in God. You got to be happy in the Lord, or you will always be unhappy. And so he makes me to have peace in my life and contentment. One of the reasons we come to church is so that we can sit by the still waters in worship and eat from the green pastures of the Word of God. That's one of the reasons we come to church. In church, we should find peace. And we should fill up. We should get the Word on the inside of us. That's one of the reasons we come here. So, he provides, he makes. Number two, he restores. You know, many people move on from a situation, but they don't restore. They don't heal. I mean, look at the world, full of bitterness, full of hate, still holding on to something 30 years ago. Some of them don't even know why they hate their brother or sister anymore. They just still do. I don't remember what happened, but I tell you what, it sure was bad. It sure was bad. I mean, look at our nation, Hatfield and McCoys. Long, long time of hating each other. You get family hating the other family. Well, why do you hate them? Because they're a Hatfield. Why do you hate them? They're McCoy. We don't mix with McCoys. You know, and you have all this stuff. And you get 200 years away, and they still hate each other, and they don't even know why. I don't even know why. I think he sold my daddy a limp donkey. He limped. And he knew it and didn't tell us. We've hated him and killed him for year after year after year. Yeah, we don't hold. That's the world. They'll move on with their life. But they don't get restored. They don't let their heart heal. Can I tell you something? When you come into the family of God, one of the anointing that Jesus said, he said, I come to heal the brokenhearted. We are healed of the Lord. Now, there may be a wound that still hurts us or still aches at this moment, but let me tell you something. You are healed and you keep walking it out. There have been times that I've had to tell the Lord, I forgive this person. Now help me forgive them. Help me not have acid reflux when their name is mentioned. Help me not want to spit on the ground every time I hear their name. Lord, I forgive them. Help me. And God will take a heart and mend it. Now the world, they'll just say, they just move on. They'll just move on, but they're never healed. They're never restored. God makes, God restores. And my last point for he provides is he leads. It says he leads me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. He leads us into the right way to go. Shepherds lead sheep. They do not drive them like cattle. He leads. What is my point on that? God will show you the path. Now sheep have left, and the shepherd will go after the sheep. Oh, man. There's so many points I want to get to. But God leads us. I remember somebody telling me a story about them living in Israel. And after they wanted to live in Israel for a year before they started their church. And so they went to Israel, and he started working with a shepherd. And he said they went down to a watering hole, and there were, I don't remember how many, but let's just say a number out there, like seven other shepherds there. And all the sheep were together, and he said when they would walk, when the shepherd would walk. Have you ever seen videos on YouTube of sheep? They are the funniest things ever. Like I'm not going to say the sheep noise. I'm not going to do it right now. But you can do that, and then all the sheep at one time will do it together. And that is hysterical. That's funny. That is funny. I love it. So somebody was having a good time with that. But he said the shepherds were making noise, whether it was clicking or a certain yelling, which I understand because how many have ever been on a farm, right? When we would feed the animals sometimes, you made a certain noise. For sheep, or not sheep, but for pigs, it was suey. Yep. suey. Oh, we had a lot of sueys in here. That's, I guess that's international, right? Yes. I ain't going to yell. I'm not going to yell like you would. But we had a certain way of yelling. And the pigs knew. They'd come running. They would come running. We would even have a certain call for the horses. And they knew, and they would run. They would run. They were excited. And so as they were leading, he said, the shepherd would have this clicking noise and these noises he would make, and the sheep would follow him. And he said, when they got down to the watering hole, he said, it crossed his mind. How are we going to separate all these sheep? And what if one sheep, you know, what if you say this one's mine, and the other shepherd says, no, that one's mine. He says, what is the protocol here? And he said, one by one, the shepherds were like, oh, it's time for us to go. And he said, they were the last ones there. And he said, one shepherd got up and did his call. And he said, all of a sudden, sheep from, he said, there were thousands and thousands of sheep. He made the call, and sheep from all over were all spread out, begin to come to one and follow the shepherd. And he said, then the next shepherd got up, started making his noises. And he said, out of all these thousands of sheep, sheep that were all mixed would all come out and follow the shepherd. And he said, one by one, he saw that and he was amazed. And he said, at the end, it was only their sheep. And he said, when we got up, shepherd made the noise, they started walking, and all the sheep left with the shepherd. Why? Because the shepherd leads. But I want to say this too, as sheep, we hear the voice of the shepherd, and no other voice will we follow. You know, I've had people, what? I don't know if I hear the voice. I don't know if I hear. What if I don't hear God? You hear the voice of God. And the longer you live in the kingdom, you can look back and say, yeah, you know what? God led me. God led me. This was the Lord. God was speaking, and you heard him. You may have doubted. Is this God? Is this God? Is this God? Is it God? You're following him. Be confident that when God speaks, you hear. You'll make the right decisions. You will follow the path. And even if you miss it, the shepherd will make his little clicking noises. And you'll, oh, I'm off to the side. I should have already been gone. I'm catching up with the rest of the sheep right now. God will cause you to come to the place you're supposed to be. You hear the voice of God. Do not get anxious. Do not get worried about if I miss it. Or if you don't hear, you will hear. You will hear. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you are the good shepherd.